الحمد لله، الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا مباركا، الحمد لله استماما لنعمته واستسلاما لعزته، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. السلام عليكم. For today's khutbah, inshallah, I will try to be brief because we are honoring Brother Muhammad Bazik and praying a janazah in absentia on his daughter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept her with his mercy. After the prayer, I apologize up front that I will not be able to stay for that, but whoever is able to stay, please join the community in that. At the end of a year, at the beginning of a new year, I think it's a good idea not only to take stock of where we are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at least for myself, I think it is a good idea to take stock of where I am with the shaitan. We heard Sheikh Asim today recite from Surah Al-Imran when the mother of Maryam alayha salam became pregnant. Her dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, I seek refuge in you for her from the shaitan. And I think that one of our biggest problems individually and collectively is that we underestimate the shaitan. For example, it's rare to hear khutbas purely devoted to the topic of the shaitan. For many people, especially non-Muslims, believing in God is, you know, is fine. But the idea of Satan seems a bit more silly, a bit more primitive. And so I think that people often do not give the shaitan his due in terms of being wary of him. In fact, I remember a movie line from years and years ago that said something to the effect that Satan's biggest trick is convincing man that he doesn't exist. And the Quran tells us very clearly, not only that he exists, but that he is our clear enemy. So in Surah Al-Baqarah, the Quran says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. O you who have attained to faith, surrender yourselves wholly unto God and follow not Satan's footsteps, for verily he is your open foe. And so what should our response to that be? Well, Surah Fatir tells us, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا إِنَّمَا يَدْعُ حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. That Satan is an enemy to you, so take him as such. Take him as your enemy. He is your enemy. Treat him as such. He calls his people to be the brethren of the fire. And so, very often we sort of think, okay, well, I need to pray and to fast, and oh, by the way, the shaitan may try to tempt me. I think we need to have a very clear focus on how dangerous he is. And if I'm going to take him as my enemy, there are a few things I want to do. One is, to use modern criminology terms, a psychological profile. Who is this enemy? What are his characteristics? What are his motivations? Then, what are his strengths and weaknesses and my strengths and weaknesses when he comes at me? Then what are his methods? What are his strategies? What are his tactics? And that, of course, is much more than can be covered in one khutbah. And this is a topic I visited years and years ago, and I'd like to revisit it with you today, inshallah. But we will, inshallah, take it sequentially. And for today, let's begin with the psychological profile, a Quranic-based study of the shaitan. His number one characteristic is an overweening arrogance. And why are we studying his characteristics? Because I think, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that the easiest thing for him is to try to make us like him. That when we begin to adopt his characteristics, he has won. And so characteristic number one is a tremendous arrogance. And so we see when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him in Surah Al-Baqarah, or describes in Surah Al-Baqarah rather, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. We told the angels, bow down before Adam. They all bowed down except Iblis, who refused and gloried in his arrogance and thus became one of those who deny the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then in Surah Al-A'raf asks him directly, قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. What prevents you from bowing if I ordered you? قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقَتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. He said, I am better than him. You created me from fire and you created him from mud. And again in Surah Sad, the shaitan repeats the same thing. I am better than him. You made me from fire and you made him from mud. And so we see then that not only is he arrogant, he is arrogant to the point of being the ultimate racist, the ultimate speciesist. My species of fire is better than his species of mud, and so I will not bow to him. And that sort of arrogance, of course, is the root of racism. It's the root that allowed slavery. It's the root of feeling that women, there were debates in, not of course in Islam, but in other religious denominations as to whether women had a soul. And so if someone doesn't have a soul, do they deserve the same rights as someone who does? And even among very good, decent people, none of us is immune. I am Egyptian, so maybe I think that makes me better. I am whatever. I have this job. I have this much money. And for very, very decent people, no, I will not marry my daughter to him. He's Egyptian and we are, you know, whatever, Syrian, Pakistani, Saudi. How does that come about? That's all part and parcel of this, my stock is better than his stock. The second characteristic of the shaitan is that he has no sense of justice. And so again, we have to be careful of that in ourselves. When he refuses to bow and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expels him from his grace and from heaven, what does the shaitan respond in Surah Al-Isra? قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَكَ هَذَا الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيَّ لَإِنْ أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لَأَحْتَنِكَنَّ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Said, tell me, is this being the one that you have exalted above me? If you will allow me a respite, if you will let me live, survive, until the day of judgment, I shall most certainly cause his descendants, all but a few, to obey me. لَإِنْ أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لَأَحْتَنِكَنَّ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So the shaitan is not only angry at Adam and his wife, he decides that he is going to take out his anger on the entire human race, that he will try to lead them all to his same fate. What is more unjust than that? That now is not they hurt me, so I'm going to hurt them. It is they hurt me, so I am going to impose a collective punishment on all of their descendants from now until the day of judgment. And that is vengeance. That is injustice to the point of vengeance. Trait number three is that he does not take responsibility for his actions. Thank you. Trait number three is that he does not take responsibility for his actions. And so we see in Surah Al-Hijr, the shaitan is saying, قَالَ رَبِّي بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. That, O my sustainer, and I'm reading Muhammad Asad's translation, since thou hast thwarted me means frustrated my aims, I wanted to do something and you caused it not to happen, I shall indeed make all that is evil on earth seem goodly to them, and shall most certainly beguile them all into grievous error. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but I take some pause at this translation, because aghwaytani in Arabic is you caused me to go into error. And in fact, the shaitan uses that very same word as part of the verse. قَالَ رَبِّي بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. The same way he is now talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, astaghfirullah, the same way you caused me to fall into error, I will cause them to fall into error. So he's not taking responsibility for his actions. He is blaming his sin on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says again in Surah Sad, قَالَ فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I will beguile them all. I will fool them all. I will lead them all astray. Last characteristic is that he is without hope. He has nothing to lose. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him in Surah Sad, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, that you shall have my rejection, my curse, until the day of judgment. And according to some, la'ana, the verb in Arabic, is to move far away, particularly from God's grace, that he has been ousted from God's grace. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him later in the surah, قَالَ فَالْحَقُّ وَالْحَقَّ أَقُولُ لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكَ وَمِمَّنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, that this then is the truth, and this truth do I state. Most certainly will I fill hell with thee and with such of them as shall follow thee altogether. So he has crossed the line and he is now beyond redemption and he is without hope. He has nothing to lose. And so the bottom line is that we are dealing with a very dangerous enemy. We're dealing with an enemy who is extremely arrogant to the point of being the ultimate racist. In his eyes, we are entirely worthless. He has no sense of justice, and he is moved entirely by a sense of vengeance. He has no sense of responsibility or accountability of his own actions, and he has nothing to lose. And those characteristics make him a very dangerous opponent. Usually, when you fight opponents, there are some rules. In boxing, you don't hit below the belt, you don't do kidney punches. In war, at least among civilized people, you don't kill women and civilians. But when the opponent is a lesser species in your eyes, then there are no rules. That's when war turns into genocide. That's when racism turns into slavery. And so, I think as a year ends and a new year begins, we need to take the frame of mind that the Quran is enjoining upon us, that this is your clear enemy. He is a very dangerous enemy. Take him as such. And step one is this psychological profile to get an idea of just how dangerous he is, what are his character traits. And in the second khutbah, inshallah, we will try to see also then how the Quran helps us vaccinate ourselves against these traits. How it helps us, if we read it, if we understand it, if we follow it, not to become like this. I say what I've said, I ask Allah to forgive me and to forgive you. Udu Allah. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول. In terms of curing us from arrogance and from racism, the Quran tells us, for example, in Surah Al-Hujurat, يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير. That behold, we have created you all out of a male and a female, and have made you into nations and tribes, so that you might come to know one another. Not so that you could hold yourselves in contempt or enslave each other. And to know that truly the noblest of you in the sight of God is the one who is the most God-conscious. Behold, God is all-knowing, all-aware. So the noblest of you is not the richest of you. It's not the whitest of you. It's not the ones born in Mecca. It is not the ones that have a piece of paper that say that 20 generations ago they were descended from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The noblest of you is the one who has the most taqwa. It is not your job, it is not your bank account, it is not your family name, it is not your country of origin, it is not the color of your skin. And so there's nothing to be arrogant about, because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that taqwa. Inna Allah alimun khabir. So the verse says, God is all-knowing, all-aware. Not me. I can't say, well, I have more taqwa than you, astaghfirullah, so now I can feel arrogant. No, I have no measure of taqwa, so I have nothing to be arrogant about. And then to implement that theory into practice, the Quran tells us again in Surah Al-Hujurat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. That let not some of you mock and insult others. It may be that the latter are better than the former. It may be the person you hold in contempt is actually better than you. And let not women mock and insult others. It may be that the latter are better than the former. And in Surah Luqman, the advice that Luqman is giving his son, وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. That don't turn your cheek away from people in arrogance and pride, and do not walk filled with pride upon the earth, for verily God does not love anyone who is an arrogant boaster. So again, now the theory comes to practice. I'm sure you've all seen people walking down the street, you know, sauntering as if they are the gift to humanity. We don't walk like that. We walk humbly, we walk softly, because again, we have nothing to be arrogant about. In terms of avoiding injustice that comes from a sense of vengeance, the Quran tells us in Surah Al-Ma'idah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَيَانُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. O you who believe, stand out firmly for Allah as witnesses to justice and fair dealing, and let not the hatred of others to you make you swerve into the wrong and depart from justice. Be just, that is next to piety, and fear Allah, for Allah is well acquainted with all that you do. So the Quran is telling you, even when you have a reason for vengeance, the people hate you, they are unjust to you, beyond unjust, don't let their hatred of you swerve you from justice, the way that the shaitan allowed his anger at Adam and Eve to swerve him from justice. In terms of hopelessness, and this is something we see in everyone, in the old, in the young, but young people sometimes feel, okay, well, I've done so much, I've done this, I've sinned this, I'll forget it. That is a loss of hope. And the Quran again inoculates us, vaccinates us from that. It tells us, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. O my servants who have transgressed against their souls, despair not of God's mercy. God forgives all sins, for He is oft forgiving, most merciful. And Yaqub, when he's telling his children to go search for Yusuf, alayhi salam, alayhim as-salam, everyone thinks, this is hopeless. Yusuf has been dead. And he tells them, يَا بَنِي يَذْهَبُوا فَتَحَسَّسُوا مِنْ يُوسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. That go and inquire about Yusuf and his brother and don't give up on Allah's soothing mercy. Nobody despairs of Allah's mercy except those who have no faith. And the last characteristic, and by the way, in terms of not despairing of Allah's mercy, Let us remember something that we never really point out in the story of the shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the request of the lowliest and most evil of his creation. When the shaitan says, let me live until they are resurrected, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innaka min al-mu'athin. Innaka min al-mundarin. That allow me to be alive until they are resurrected, because he wants to try to lead us into error. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers him, innaka min al-mundarin. You will be allowed to live. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to accept from him, do you think he would not accept from you or from me? Why in the world would we despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If he would accept the request of the shaitan, inshallah he will accept yours, and inshallah he will accept mine. Lastly, sense of responsibility. In the story of Adam and Eve, in Surah Al-A'raf, when they realize their sin, what do they do? Look at the difference between them and the shaitan. قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. So, what is their word? The two replied, O our sustainer, we have sinned against ourselves. قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We have sinned against ourselves. We made a mistake. They stepped up and took responsibility. They didn't blame it even on the shaitan. They didn't say, oh, well, the shaitan, he is so crafty and he is so sneaky and he, you know, made us fall into error and he made us a false promise about the tree of everlasting life. No. They stepped up and they said, we made a mistake. It's our fault. We sinned against ourselves. قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And if you do not forgive us and bestow your mercy on us, then surely we are among the lost. And of course, they don't blame astaghfirullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, we see that the Quran paints the picture for us of the shaitan, and then in so many verses, vaccinates us, gives us the ability, if we digest these Quranic verses, that for every characteristic of the shaitan, we can then behave in the opposite way. And so as a year ends and a new year begins, inshallah, we try to take stock of that, because it is the most difficult possible battle. I am just day after day amazed at how difficult this battle with the shaitan is. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us the victors in that battle. اللهم اجعل القرآن شفاء لصدورنا وربيع قلوبنا ومنبع إيماننا وزكاة لنفوسنا وجلاء همنا ونور قبورنا وشفاعة لنا يوم حسابنا وبركة لنا ولأولادنا. الله سبحانه وتعالى, please make the Quran a healing for what is in our hearts and the wellspring of our faith and a purification for our souls and the light of our graves and an intercession with you on the day that we stand before you and a blessing for us and our children, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. Aqim as-salah.